Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire. April 5th, 2018, 6 p.m., Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Official report. After seeing that her 17-month-old daughter, Charlotte, isn't breathing, Jania Pratt calls 911. When police arrived, they observed that Charlotte was not breathing, did not have a pulse. Police also see that her nose and mouth are emitting a red liquid. While police perform life-saving measures on Charlotte, they hear Jania Pratt say, "This isn't my fault. This can't be my fault. And I can't get in trouble for this." Charlotte has yet to find peace. Paramedics transport her to the hospital, where she will die later that night. While in Pratt's home, police recover a sippy cup from Charlotte's bed. Pratt repeatedly tries to enter her daughter's bedroom while authorities were investigating in the room. Pratt is so angry and insistent that police had to physically restrain her to keep her out of the room. She becomes enraged that the first responders broke a coffee table, the same coffee table that they laid her daughter on to perform CPR.
Where did she fall asleep in her bedroom?
She came and got up on the couch with me.
Mm-hmm. You guys took a nap?
We barely fell asleep. By the time I was actually, dozing off, Miss Vernon was knocking at the door.
Okay, and at that time you put her in her bedroom or left her on the couch?
At this time, I had picked her up because she was laying with me on the couch. I'm not sure if she was on top of me or beside me at that point.
Yeah.
I picked her up and I laid her on the couch and I opened the door. And I came to get her off the couch and I put her in her bed.
Okay. Did she eat or drink anything?
My boyfriend told me he made fish sticks and I want to say like French fries or something.
Okay. That was earlier in the day when you guys got back. Did she eat or drink anything?
No, she didn't eat or drink anything. She had left her, he said she didn't want her sippy cup before they walked out the door to come and get me. So he left the sippy cup there.
Which sippy cup was that?
The interrogation room is sparse. Gray walls, a table and chairs, and three people. Jania Pratt and two officers sit at the table. On the table, a pack of Newports for Pratt, her lighter, two disposable plastic cups, and a notepad.
To my knowledge, it should have been the pink one.
The pink sippy cup?
Mm-hmm.
And where was that located?
I'm not even sure. I wasn't there.
Did he have that or did she have it?
It was left.
It was left there?
She didn't want it on the way out the door.
Okay. When you say on the way out the door, you mean...
When they left to come and get me from school.
Okay, when you came back, did she That pink sippy cup, do you remember what it was?
I didn't even see the sippy cup.
Did you give her the sippy cup at all?
I didn't see the sippy cup.
Okay. Do you remember being in her bedroom, that sippy cup?
I think I might have found the sippy cup on the way to... I'm not sure. I just remember, I believe, putting the sippy cup in her bed with her.
Okay. Did you put anything in the sippy cup?
No, there was a red liquid in it, and I know we had Huggies.
Yeah, I remember seeing some Huggies in there.
To be more specific, Happy Drink Huggies.
Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you... When you were living... I'm just going to show you the picture. This is... is this the same sippy cup you're thinking of?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have put liquid in there earlier in the day?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's interesting that Pratt shows almost no emotion during this entire investigation. Moments that usually elicit a response, they all fall cold. The sippy cup she's shown is the one that killed her daughter. But we'll get more into that later.
Was that the same sippy cup that you put the liquid in? Was it before you went to school, when you got home from school, or?
I put a different juice drink in there, and she had a complete fit, and she didn't drink it.
Okay.
So how the red liquid got in, he changed her sippy cup when he fed her.
Okay.
He said she drank a little bit and threw it.
Okay. Out of that sippy cup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you lived at that address, did you get anything delivered in the mail from overseas?
I had just ordered her entire room from Walmart. I don't know if that came from overseas or not.
Well, Walmart wouldn't. I'm saying, did you order anything that maybe that might not have, that might have been out of the ordinary, any type of anything from a different country?
No, my mother purchased the baby gate that was in her room.
Okay.
I believe she purchased that from Walmart also.
There would be no reason like you would get any packages, say, from China or from Japan or anything like that.
Like directly from them?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. But to your knowledge, you...
I ordered everything from Walmart.
Okay. So just to be clear, the stuff that was in that sippy cup, you did put in or you did not?
I did not.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any idea I'm just gonna be blunt to you. Your child died from fentanyl poisoning.
So why did CYF tell me hypoxic cardiac arrest?
There weren't lab results then. So I'm gonna explain this to you. Okay.
Forensic analysis indicates that the liquid in Charlotte's sippy cup tested positive for fentanyl, an opioid, a very deadly opioid, and that Charlotte had fentanyl in her blood. Pratt is seemingly unmoved by all of this. I know that we all have different ways of coping with grief, but some reaction, any at all, is usually expected. Pratt comes off as uncaring, cold, just seemingly unmoved.
In that sippy cup was fentanyl. In her blood was fentanyl. We just got these results back. It's the same type of fentanyl that people are overdosing every day in Pittsburgh and dying from. Same exact type. Okay. So I need to know how the fentanyl got in the sippy cup. Because right now it's not an accident. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so scientifically, it's impossible for your daughter to put fentanyl in a sippy cup, okay? Physically, it's impossible for her to. Scientifically, that's another story, but right now, that's how she died. It wasn't a heart attack. It wasn't any other reason other than she overdosed on fentanyl, which is the same fentanyl that people in the streets are dying on every single day. How the fentanyl get in the sippy cup, Janae?
Just straight fentanyl?
Yeah.
So what is it, like a liquid?
I'm not a scientist. It comes in a liquid form. It comes in a powder form. I'm not exactly sure. But what I am sure of is that that fentanyl was put in a sippy cup and there was liquid mixed into it and it was given to Charlotte and that's how she died.
Obscura is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listener, I have to admit, as I get older, I can be a bit of a loner. I find that large gatherings can leave me feeling exhausted. Yet, we all have responsibilities. Sometimes you have to be an adult, put yourself out there. That said, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery life. I've personally spoken with therapists during hard periods in my life. They've helped me get my head straight and confront my grief head on. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/obscura today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/obscura. Again, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/obscura today and get 10% off your first month.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I need to know how that got in there.
I have no knowledge to how fentanyl got in my daughter's sippy cup.
Okay. Because you realize right now this investigation is taking a whole different turn.
Yeah, clearly.
And the when someone gives someone something and they die from it, it's a homicide.
The analysis shows the concentration of fentanyl in Charlotte's blood was approximately 1,000 times an amount fatal to adults. The autopsy performed on Charlotte concludes that poisoning was the cause, and homicide was the manner of baby Charlotte's death. She had enough in her system to kill an elephant, or two horses.
She was poisoned intentionally.
Okay. I've been making complaints to my rent office because I've been smelling a funny smell in my house several times returning back to my house.
This is since you've moved or?
No, this is living in apartment number 5.
This is where you used to live?
Yes. Saying.
Okay. Well, that still wouldn't explain how it got in the sippy cup.
Well, I'm just as clueless as you are. So are you implicating that I put fentanyl in my child's sippy cup?
No. But based on this timeline, I mean, there's only two people that could have put fentanyl in the sippy cup. Based on what you just told me about 10 minutes ago. And based on the whole timeline of that day.
It's clear that the interrogator is being careful not to push her too hard. During the interrogation, he's given her a lot of room to make mistakes, make excuses, and she's taken the bait a few times. She's subtly placed the blame on funny smells in her apartment, the juice gave to her daughter having a funny smell, and the furniture she purchased from Walmart. It's clear, at least to me, listener, that Pratt's goal is self-preservation. Though, if she were smart enough, she'd ask for a lawyer. But these types always think that they're smarter than a lawyer, don't they?
I need to know how it got in there, because this investigation is not going away.
Okay, and I'm telling you, I returned to my house from being picked up from school, and I did nothing out of the usual.
Okay.
We took our stuff off, and she ran around and played, and I'm waiting for my social worker to come.
Okay. Do you get fentanyl delivered from China?
I don't know anything about fentanyl.
Okay. Did you ever put anything in her sippy cup other than huggy juice?
She's drank water. She's drank milk. She's drank Kool-Aid liquids.
But have you ever put anything in there?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Other than...
I mean, because some parents will give their kids a little bit of, you know, Benadryl or something like that. So like,
no, that doesn't go in a sippy cup because it's supposed to be measured out. And Benadryl's not supposed to be drank. Tylenol's not supposed to be drank over a specific amount of hours. It's supposed to be one dose and that's it.
Right, I agree with you. I agree with you. But people, parents...
I'm not one of those people or parents.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. And it wouldn't be the first time, okay? I'm just asking. But the problem, we have a problem right now. Would you, is that safe to say that there's a problem? I mean, I have to figure out how this got in there because your baby can't tell me. Is there a reason someone would want to do that? Is there a reason why fentanyl would be in a sippy cup?
No, there's not. And no, there's not a reason anybody would want to.
The amount of fentanyl that was in her system was extremely high. Okay. It was very high. And that's essentially when she drank the sippy cup. Whenever she picked that sippy cup off the bed, it was absorbed very quickly. And once she swallowed it, she didn't have much time to survive.
That's not possible because I didn't physically see her with her sippy cup and we were at home. I was with her. I can't tell you the exact time frame, but when I got home, because I went to the welfare office a little bit as soon as I left school, there's no possible way.
Well, that sippy cup I showed you that picture of, that's the sippy cup that had it in it.
In a subsequent police interview, Pratt explained that on the night Charlotte died, the child began her nap on the couch. Pratt said she took Charlotte to her bed to continue her nap after a friend arrived to visit, so she and the visitor could smoke marijuana. To me, it appears that Pratt was more interested in partying than her own daughter, and you could look at this as a motivator for why she died. I won't speculate further than that, but... you get the idea, listener.
I'm going to step out for a little bit, let you think about this.
There's nothing to think about.
Okay, well, I need to step out anyway. All right. But that's why I brought you here, was to tell you exactly what happened and what we found. And, I mean, it wasn't really me, but it was, you know, scientists and, you know, people at the lab that discovered all this, medical examiners, doctors.
Okay, so am I under arrest?
No.
Are there any more questions?
I just want to know how it got in there. That's the big question.
I don't know how it got in there. This is news to me like it's news to you.
If you had to guess how it got in there, is there any way, you know, any guess you could have?
A manufacturing issue with the happy drinks.
So you think it could have been the huggy?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I took a sip of those huggies and it didn't really have a pleasing taste to it.
We tested the huggies.
Mm.
No fentanyl.
So what are you implying?
I'm asking. I'm just asking straight up how it got in there.
And I'm telling you straight up, I have no clue how it got in there.
No clue. Is this something your boyfriend would have done?
He has kids of his own. Why would he hurt my child?
Did anyone else have access to the apartment?
Maintenance people, the people who run the place.
So other than the maintenance people and people that run the place, the only person that has access to it is you and Mr. Williams.
Yes.
Was any maintenance people in there recently?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know? Was anyone in your house that uses heroin?
I wouldn't know what people's personal drugs they use.
But to your knowledge?
No.
Did you have any people in your house that use heroin?
No.
Do you use heroin?
No.
Does your boyfriend use heroin?
No.
Other than smoking weed, do you do any other drugs?
No.
While incarcerated and waiting for trial, Pratt mentioned her daughter's death to several inmates. She commented to them about the nature of Charlotte's death. Pratt also made statements to an inmate that she did not kill her daughter. She did kill her daughter. She did not mean to kill her daughter. That her daughter was in her care when she died, so no one else could have killed Charlotte, and that Charlotte did not die while her boyfriend took care of her. Pratt also told an inmate she, quote, didn't want a damn girl anyway.
All right. Well, it's my job to find out how this got in there, okay, at this point. And like, right, this isn't going to go away. This investigation is not going away until I find out.
Okay. When you find out, you let me know.
I definitely will.
Any further questions?
I mean, you already told me she was acting fine. She wasn't sick. You guys got home, you take a nap. You fall asleep together on the couch. Social or the Urban League lady comes, you take her into her bedroom. She falls asleep in there, Urban lady leaves.
She was asleep before I put her
in. Oh, she was still
bed.
Asleep. Mm-hmm. She stayed asleep, Urban lady left. And you went to check on her, and that's when you found she was unresponsive. And there was the pink sippy cup on her bed. And you called 911. Police showed up first, and then the medics, correct?
I don't know who showed up first, honestly.
Okay.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million-dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
I really want to know why your baby had that large amount of fentanyl in her.
I would too.
I mean, she was enough to kill a very large animal.
There's no way my daughter could have got into any type of fentanyl.
I agree with you. I agree. I think someone, just like a bartender, mixes up a drink, put it in that sippy cup. That's the only possible way it could have got in there.
It Is there any more questions, officer, detective?
Do you agree with me?
I'm not agreeing because who would do that to a child?
That's a really messed up person would do that.
There's no possible way.
Well, got in there somehow. And the amount of fentanyl she had could have killed probably two horses that was in her system. Okay.
Any more questions?
No.
Am I under arrest?
No.
Can I go?
Sure.
There was fentanyl in her sippy cup. Yeah, that's what police say killed a 17-month-old girl. Tonight, her mother's in the Allegheny County Jail, charged with homicide. Bob Allen with more on that story.
How did the fentanyl get in the cup? I mean, we have some idea. I'm comfortable that we can charge somebody, and I've authorized that.
Police say Pratt and a male babysitter denied putting fentanyl in the child's cup. Authorities believe the baby got sick and died a short time after drinking from the cup. They believe Pratt was the only person with the child that afternoon. According to the police report, Pratt was hostile and uncooperative at the hospital and hasn't said much since then.
We tried to interview her. She didn't give us any information. It was kind of, I hate to characterize her attitude, except that she was interviewed and she was not helpful. And it's her child.
Meanwhile, Zapala says new sentencing enhancements call for harsher penalties for offenders.
When you put fentanyl in play and somebody dies, I want to see you go to jail. What the sentencing enhancement will do is put somebody in a penitentiary.
A woman convicted of killing her 18-month-old daughter was sentenced today to up to 10 years in prison. Janiya Pratt was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter this summer. Prosecutors say that her daughter, Charlotte, died after drinking from a sippy cup that had fentanyl in it.
In June 2019, Jana Pratt was ultimately found guilty of involuntary manslaughter and the death of her daughter. She will serve somewhere between 5 and 10 years in prison, a sentencing that I don't find long enough. The judge made a statement at her sentencing that I think is worth reading here. I'm going to read part of it. Quote, "I find that any lesser sentence would diminish the seriousness of the crimes which you have been convicted. I find the confinement is required both to deter you and also to deter those who may be tempted to put themselves in a similar situation. I find that if you were granted probation, there would be an undue risk that you would commit another crime. I am also considering, in addition, the violation of trust you held towards your daughter. This child has no one here today to speak on her behalf, except for the prosecutor, who never even met her and only saw pictures of her after she was cold and dead. Charlotte is essentially a forgotten victim here, but she looked at you, and to you only, as her source of safety and protection and support. She was wholly dependent on you, and you betrayed that trust that was your responsibility to uphold. I also find what could be classified as an expression of remorse. But again, as I am the judge who is in the courtroom right now, and I am the judge that actually has the opportunity to witness you and observe you, I find that your showing of remorse is nothing more than a box to be checked on your list of things to do when you show up at sentencing. To find you to be a callous, cold-hearted, and remorseless person. This has been the theme that I have observed over the hours and days that I was forced to sit in this chair and listen to your voice talking about this incident in a cold, calm, and frankly aggressive and confrontational tone. The interactions, especially that you had with the detectives who worked tirelessly and denied many other equally valid cases their expertise and time, by pouring hours and hours into this particular investigation, was especially chilling, and I do not think that can translate for the Superior Court by a cold-hearted record. One would have to see it and hear it for their own selves. I also reject any insinuation that this was somehow the fault of your then-boyfriend, because I saw and heard Mr. Williams testify on the witness stand. He seems to me a very dull-witted and simple fellow who was completely incapable of carrying out the poisoning that happened in this case, because there's really no other words for it. You know, fentanyl simply does not telekinetically elevate itself into a sippy cup. Mr. Williams has absolutely no reason to cause your child to ingest fentanyl. I reject, and I believe that it's appropriate, based upon what I saw and heard, to reject any insinuation that he is responsible for the child's death. I believe the prosecutor's explanation and characterization is accurate, that you did slip a few times, and that other times you simply came out and basically said you didn't want that child, primarily because her father must be a difficult individual to get along with, I suppose. But most importantly, however, in my consideration of the nature and substance that took your daughter's life, Dr. Zhu, an experienced forensic pathologist for nearly 11 years, testified that there were 1,100 nanograms of fentanyl in this poor baby's blood. And he testified that even 1.3 nanograms, that would be 1/10 of 1% of that amount, would be enough to cause death in an adult. I think the detective's characterization, and frankly yours, that there was enough fentanyl in that girl's system to kill a horse, is absolutely accurate. Dr. Zhu indicated this is the highest level of fentanyl that his office has experienced in 10 years. This was a case where toxic poison was placed squarely in the way of your child and placed in an attractive nuisance. What I mean by that, a sippy cup that she had continually looked to grant her relief from thirst. But I want to make it clear that the sort of lackluster expression of remorse that you attempted to mouth piously today lies in the faces of the true. I got to see on the videos in this case, you try to come up with just about any explanation for your daughter's death, except that you were responsible for it. In fact, it's very telling that when the initial officer and the medics responded and attempted vainly to save your poor daughter's life, who was as good as dead at that point anyway, unfortunately, because the amount of fentanyl you allowed her to ingest, your response in large part was the following words during that very stressful situation where people are most likely to express their true feelings, where you said, "I can't get into trouble for this. This cannot be my fault. I am not going to get in trouble for this." Your primary concern was for yourself. Your primary concern continues to be for yourself, with very little or no thought for your child. I find it especially disturbing that you found smoking marijuana to be more important than looking after the only child that it's likely you're ever going to have. So for all of those reasons, and I hope I have expressed myself adequately for the record, I am compelled to deviate upward from the guidelines. And I do recognize specifically that the sentencing guidelines are the result of painstaking process by the commission that contemplates the prior records, the offense gravity, and the statutory classification of this felony of the second degree. However, in this case, the sentencing guidelines fall far short of any amount of justice for poor Charlotte. As a result, I'm going to impose the following sentence. It is going to the sentence as to count one, involuntary manslaughter, that you serve not less than 5 or more than 10 years of incarceration at the State Correctional Institution at Muncie. And it is further order of the court that you are not RRRI eligible, that you are responsible for the cost of this prosecution and all the crime lab's costs that went into trying to figure out what happened to this poor child. And that's it for this episode. It's a pretty dark one, I know. Last episode, we had a mother and the daughter survived. This episode, the mother killed the daughter. And what can be said of it? Not a lot. I know you and I, listener, we can't imagine doing something like that to a child. The very thought is horrifying. But there are people like that walking amongst us every single day. And for me, I tell you to steer clear. That you'll get the right feeling when you meet them, and to trust your gut, lest there be a monster in your midst. I thank you for listening, and keep the fire burning.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.